Welcome one, welcome all, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 11, Step Right Up. As always, I am your host, The Brant, and with me is...
your co-host, Brian.
Hey, Brian's back, everybody. Say hello to him. So, we are here with episode number 11, Portal Gaming Podcast is brought to you by a store in Manchester called The Portal. For more information, log on to www.timemachineportal.com. The Portal is located in Manchester, Connecticut. And this episode is entitled A Day Long Remembered, as we look back at 2015 and the gaming at The Portal and board gaming and games in general. So we're super excited. I'm a little behind the weather, Brian. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I just came off of a cold, so I'm doing better now. So hopefully this is not going to transfer over to me. But I don't know. It's good. Like, it's slowed down a little at work. You know, it's off of the Christmas season. So I'm getting back into the swing of it and, you know, getting some games to the table.
Yeah. I know. I feel like I played some games, but I haven't played a ton lately. So be good to get back into the swing and all those kind of things. Yeah. Yeah, for me, everything picked back up. Obviously, teaching, I was on break for Christmas and everything, and now it's the new year. So, happy new year, everybody, by the way. Hope 2016 is going well for you. And we'll look forward to what's to come. We got a lot of exciting things, I think, coming up at the Portal this year. So, stay tuned for more announcements on those kind of things that are happening. So, speaking of upcoming things, we have some upcoming events we want to talk about. So, the Silk City Board Game Group is going to be meeting on Saturday, January 16th. That's from 12 to 4:30. So the Silk City Board Gaming Group, a little bit of a tongue twister there, meets at the Manchester Library. Which branch is it? Does it have a main branch or is it the main building?
It's on Main Street. It's like, you know, right in that central area across from like Ketchup and Mustard and, you know.
Yeah. So the Main Street branch in Manchester. So they'll meet there downstairs.
Yeah, down in the basement. That is a little confusing.
Yep.
And there is a name for the library. I always refer to it as Manchester Public Library. But there are two, so just make sure you're going to the right one. There is a Facebook group called Silk City Board Game Group, so that would be a good way to find out, you know, the exact details on it as well. So.
Yeah, and so I think they've had two of these before, and this is the third. Or three, and this is the fourth. I've made it to one, I believe. So how are they going so far? It's been good?
Yeah, no, it's been a pretty good turnout. I think we're gaining some traction with that and just, you know, showing a lot of people, you know, what we do at the Portal and all these new games. You get these reactions of like, oh, what type of games do you play? And people are coming in and, you know, it's a good mix between introductory games and, you know, some of that next step up and occasionally even a heavier game too. So it's a good combination of people and games.
Yeah. And I will be there. I'm planning on being at this one. So I'll be there. If anybody wants me to teach them a game, let me know ahead of time. I'll definitely help out with that. Otherwise, I'll just be there helping out and teaching games and playing games, and should be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. Why don't you take the next announcement here or upcoming event?
Yeah, and then another thing that's coming up early in February, we're going to be running a one-day mini convention sort of thing. Last year we had done PortalCon, and that was a bit longer. It was a couple days, and there were some issues with like weather, and you know, we're going to be doing it as a one-day convention this year, Saturday, February 6th, from like 9 in the morning to 11 at night, and this is mostly going to be focused on like some historicals and, you know, larger scale games, that sort of stuff. But we're still sorting through all the details. We'll have like a poster and, you know, like a little handout to come. So keep your eyes open for that, and we'll be looking to do it. So Saturday, February 6th, all day at the Portal, we're going to be doing some more like, yeah, larger tournaments and larger scale games. So
awesome. Sounds exciting. All right, those are some upcoming events. So let's move on to what's on your table. So I guess I'll start off here. lately, it's kind of in quotes because I feel like this was a little while ago, but lately I've been playing, I got a chance to play Timeline Challenge by Asmodee. As I have professed on previous podcasts, I really like the game Timeline. So this is a game where you flip historical events, or I guess you have to put them in order. You flip them to see if they're in the right place. As you add more and more cards, there's more and more places. So you kind of place the cards in between them. You get dealt some random cards, and it's kind of a race to see who gets rid of them first. But also we just have the fun of learning about different events and things. So Timeline Challenge ups the ante. It kind of turns it into a trivia type game, more so than it already is. And so there's various different things. So you actually have pieces on the board that move across the board, and there's different challenges you have to complete. So you have to place some events in order. Kind of everybody has a little separate scorecard.
Sorry, if we're going in and out, there's a cat that's about to attack the
give me one
the recorder. Oh, there's like a Rotto break here. That's the rendition of elevator music that is playing in the background.
Okay, so back to Timeline Challenge. So there's different things you have to compete over. So everybody has a little board, and it'll give you four events, and you have to put them in order what you think. 1, 2, 3, 4, or you say 4, 3, 1, 2, or whatever it is. And then on that specific one, you score a point for every single one that you got correct. And there's others. There's actually pick the date. And so you put the date in what you think it was. I think this happened in 1942. And every digit that you get right, you score a point, and you go forward on the track when you score a point. And it's kind of a circular track that moves to the center. And whoever gets to the center first wins. There's some mini challenges that happen. So as you get to a certain point, the last two people will compete. So that's kind of the catch-up mechanic that it has built in. There's lots of different challenges. Really like it. This really brings Timeline to that next level. I don't know with two players. I feel like with two, I would just play regular Timeline.
Yeah.
But with more people, certainly there's five teams here. So you could have like 10 people playing and competing and thinking it out. The one part I probably like the least is the actual game Timeline Challenge itself comes with, like, inventions. So the invention of, you know, the spa and the invention of paid time off and these kind of things. And it can be hard to know exactly what they're talking about. Like, I think one we did was museum, the invention of the museum. Like, what exactly constitutes a museum is kind of tough. But the cool part is you can mix and match any Timeline games you have, so you can kind of put them in there. Mm-hmm. Now, if you put something like American History in, you're greatly decreasing the time frame because American History is obviously, you know, 1492 to present day, so it gets rid of anything prior, so it'll change things like that. But all in all, great game, super fun. If you like Timeline, you're definitely going to like Timeline Challenge. So
and if you don't like Timeline...
I would say check it out because it becomes more of a party style game and less of just a straight up, do you know it? Because there's definitely a lot of chances for just trying to figure it out. I mean, it's still a trivia game, but I feel like it brings another level to trivia that makes it fun. So there's that. What have you been playing, Brian?
Yeah. So the first one I wanted to talk about, Warhammer Quest, the adventure card game was one that, you know, Brant and I had tried out at Gen Con a while ago. It does seem like forever ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But this one just came out. Warhammer Quest, the adventure card game, was just released from Fantasy Flight a little while ago at this point. And we've actually been playing it a decent amount of time after, like, a quick refresher on, like, how to set it up and everything. We've played a few games since then, and, you know, it's been enjoyable. It's a lot easier to, like, to get to the table than some of those more in-depth, like, Dungeon Crawls or, like, Lord of the Rings, the living card game. Because at the core of this is like you're kind of going through this adventure path. You're going to different locations and fighting all these different monsters and whatnot. But the setup is very easy. You're just grabbing a couple different ones, putting them in a central stack. You've got your unique character with four cards, which represent your actions that you can do. And you're going to be going through doing those actions and rolling dice to try to, like, you know, kill monsters or explore these locations or, you know, aid other people or even rest to try to recover your wounds. But where it really seems to shine is, like, you're trying to draw these monsters into your to yourself, you're fighting these monsters and, you know, bringing them to yourself and doing this hand-to-hand sort of combat. And the neat thing is if you take an action, you're rolling these dice that represent, like, what the monsters are doing, you know, relative to what you're rolling for your different bonuses. So, like, if you're resting, you're still having to worry about these monsters that are engaged with you. You're still rolling to see if they do damage while you're trying to recover wounds, and it's kind of this ebb and flow and trying to balance, like, are we trying to progress in the quest, or are we just trying to, like, clear it to make it easier so we can progress later on? And the ease of, like, setup and the ease of getting it to the table has just been really cool. It's very streamlined, and I just hope that Fantasy Flight keeps expanding upon this and supporting it, because I don't know, that tends to be where stuff like that hits its sweet spot for me. Like, the Lord of the Rings living card game is one that I feel very similar to that. Like, there's a pretty direct correlation in my mind. And that one really took off once they kept, like, expanding upon it and giving it the, like, support that it really needs. So I just hope they have the same sort of mindset, and I hope this does well enough to warrant that sort of support. And, you know, I want more characters. I want more enemies to fight. I want this full progression. And I don't know, I'm glad I got it to the table, and I'm looking forward to playing it a bunch more this year. So,
yeah.
You like it too, Brant?
Yeah, no, it's a fun game. I like it. It's hard for me to compare it to Lord of the Rings, which is one of my favorite games of all time.
Right.
But the point is not to be Lord of the Rings, to not be, you got a deck build and you got to jump in and all these things. I would say the one thing that's not my favorite in the game is sometimes it just feels like, well, should I do this or should I do that or should I do that? And it kind of feels like, yeah, they're all good. You don't know. You got to roll those dice and see what happens and those kind of things. So it just kind of feels like, do what you want. But that's also nice because it kind of decreases like an alpha gamer of being like, well, you do this and then you do that and then you do that and then you do that. And it's kind of, so it's kind of, you know, well, pick what you think would be best. You know, there's a couple times where it works well. And
yeah, I really do like that combat though, like the back and forth and, you know, like you'll kind of go around each hero, each person gets an action, they get to take their turn and do one of their abilities. And then everything in the, like all the monsters activate and they start attacking and kind of spreading out from there. So you're getting all these things that add up. And, you know, once you get to like a couple of stages in, all of a sudden you're fighting like this, these stronger monsters. And, you know, you're really trying to see like that progression, like trying to get to try to win the game or not die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that balance is really cool in Warhammer Quest, the adventure card game.
Yep. Nice. Next up, actually, Brian and I both played this. We played together. It's a two-player game from Z-Man Games, and it's called Targi, and it's a two-player only. And so what happens in this is you lay out a grid of cards on the board, and there's an outer grid of cards that have all kind of actions on them, and then an inner grid that either have resources or kind of characters, I guess, different people that you can kind of collect. And then what you do is you take turns placing your targi. And so you place your targi on those outer cards. And once I place my targi there, I kind of claim that row or that column, depending on where I put them. And then Brian will place one and he'll kind of claim that row or column. And we go back and forth until we each place three. Three different ones. And then where my rows and columns of targis intersect, those are the cards in the center that I'm kind of claiming. And I now get to do each ability on the targis that I place, as well as collect the cards, which may give me resources. There's coffee and salt and pepper.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds right to me. And there's also a way to get gold, which is kind of the toughest resource.
It was in our game, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. In our game it was. And so you're kind of placing these with what do I want and what do I want to negate from my opponent, which was a really neat system of, well, if I can't get what I want, then what do I want to negate from them? And so that was really interesting. And then you would pick up these resource cards and collect more resources, or you'd collect these kind of pictures and you're trying to collect sets of different people that will be worth points at the end of the game. And meanwhile, there's a little token that goes around the outside, and when that space is negated that round, and when they get to the corners, you have to kind of, you get a raid on your village or whatever, mm-hmm. and you have to give up a couple resources, so you kind of have to be ready for that, and then it moves around the corner. And so the game ends when either that gets all the way around the board, or when somebody collects a certain number of cards, I believe.
That sounds right.
And so we played, I believe we collected a certain number of cards. We were close to going all the way around.
Oh, it didn't get all the way around?
No, I don't think so. It was a little while ago, sorry.
Yeah.
So I remember that I was playing really well, and then I was very tired, and there were two rounds where I just totally misread, like, what cards and what resources I had, and it... kind of lame on my part. Like, it's just kind of not...
No, but you
not
don't
doing
want...
the correct things.
Like, you never want that experience. Like, it's just weird trying to play it out and finish the game, because we were so close to the end.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, what just happened? And we, like, you can't really go back to change it, because all of a sudden it's like, you know, my move is completely, like, that is the only, like, that affects what you're going to be doing.
That's the whole thing, yeah.
So it's just like, it felt strange at that point, but it was neat still playing through it and seeing how it went, and I don't know, I really enjoyed it too.
That was a great game. I really want to get that back to the table. I've been dying to play that.
You played it a bit more than that?
Like, I had played it once before, I think.
Okay.
However old it is. So,
but the first one, and then this is the second copy of it.
Yes.
Okay.
But anyway, so Targi is a really good two-player game.
All right. The other one that I'd like to talk about, Dice City from AEG, is one that recently got released, and that one has been getting to the table quite a bit for me. In Dice City, you've got, you know, this town, basically, a full player board with all these different buildings and, you know, six spots in each row based on, like, the different color of die that you've got. So you've got, like, five different colored dice, five rows with six different buildings in each row, representing, like, one through six. So it's pretty standard. Like, you know, you roll your dice, place them where they go, and then you're trying to manipulate those dice to, like, gather resources or gain victory points or gain military, or, you know, you can even do some other things where you're, like, removing dice from your board. Well, that's how you take actions with dice. Sorry. You take actions by removing the dice from your board. So you've got five actions each turn. The actions that you can do with those dice, you can either gain what's on the building that's under there, which, again, those are, like, the resources, the military, that sort of stuff. You can remove it, a die, to manipulate another die in a different row, like either move it one space to the left or one space to the right. You can remove a die to gain, like, a pass token, which, you know, every two pass tokens you can spend as, like, a wild resource or whatnot, to either gain, like, you know, goods or military, that sort of stuff. And then once you've kind of done, you've taken all your actions, you can, you know, buy new buildings, which, you know, really change up your board, because you're buying a building, replacing one of the ones that's on your tableau right then. And then you'll have different actions once you've rolled those dice in the future. So you can do that. You can trade resources to basically just get victory points. You can attack, like, either barbarians, which are just, again, giving you victory points, or you can attack other players' buildings or steal their resources or whatnot. But it's a really neat, like, tableau building one where you're kind of adding new buildings as you go and trying to, like, really get something going with all the dice that you're rolling and all the different ways you can manipulate those dice. And I think I've played it, like, three or four times now, and it's been enjoyable. I'd like a little more variety for the buildings. It did feel like a couple times it got stagnant based on what was available. But again, I've got a couple different avenues that I still need to try out. I'm never one to really go for a military sort of victory. Mm-hmm. So I think I need to try that before I can really speak to the full strength of the game. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple different ways, a couple different routes to victory. And again, because you're rolling dice, you're going to be playing a different game each time.
Right.
So you're going to be forced into making different decisions and, you know, doing different things with each game. And I don't know, I've played with a few different people too. And I think it's kind of been a general consensus of, like, oh, this is a neat game. Like, no one's really been like, oh, this is the best game I've ever played. But I haven't really played with someone who's like, oh, that's a complete dud either. So, I don't know. That one's been Dice City from AEG. I don't know if you've played that one yet, Brant.
Haven't played it. Very interested, though. We saw it at Gen Con, but we didn't really get near it. It was pretty populated. So
yeah. And yeah,
so I try that out.
I think they also just announced an expansion, which would be perfect. So hopefully that'll be coming out this year. I think they called it All That Glitters Is Gold or something. I don't know.
Oh, I did hear
so that one will be coming out. And I don't know. That's one that I hope, you know, keeps building upon that, too. I guess that seems like a theme. Like, you know, talking about these games, like, these are really fun and these have been really good. And it's just, you know, neither of these two games, Warhammer Quest or Dice City, are, like, you know, my favorite game of all time. But they're ones that I really hope keep adding stuff to. So
nice. All right, I got one more game that I want to talk about because I got to play this and it's pretty new. And this is The Prodigal's Club, which is by Czech Games Edition. Prodigal's Club is a sequel to a game that came out a while ago called Last Will. So Last Will is a game. It's basically Brewster's Millions, for anybody who's seen, it's actually two movies of that, which is basically you need to spend all your money as fast as you can. And the person who has no money left, you know, wins the game. And so you are high-class society. I believe it would be, you know, 18th century or early, 19th century or early 20th century. And you're just, you know, you're high class, but you just want to spend all your money. And then, you know, that's what you're trying to do. So Prodigal's Club builds on that. And instead, you have three different avenues. So you're trying to spend all your money. You're trying to get rid of all the votes that your father has accumulated because he is a, you know, a high and mighty politician and he has all these people who are going to vote for him, but you want to just go be a complete fool and lose the votes for your father. And the last thing is, you know, you want to take the influence that you have in society and just throw it in the trash can. And so you have these people that are represented of you know, their notoriety or their what they think of you, and you want to just trash that reputation. And so I played it as a two-player game, and the game suggests that you just play with two of the modules the first time instead of all three. So I didn't do the possessions one. You actually can opt in and use Last Will as the possessions and combine the two games. But we removed the possessions thing, and we played with the society one and with the, I know it was called Hyde Park, I guess just the political track. So really neat game. It really, the mechanics are all Euro mechanics. But the theme is just hilarious. You know, the cards are just all these silly things. Like you go in the park and you make a big speech and you just quote Karl Marx left and right. And people just boo you and they, you know, they can't stand it. And, you know, you can acquire different items like horses and stagecoaches and dogs. And then you can, you know, do all these things with them and get the dog catcher to go out and catch all these people's dogs and trash your reputation. And you can play cards to be impolite and get in fights and quarrels with people to get them mad at you. And so basically the game is worker placement. You have a whole bunch of cards that get dealt out every round. And you can go to different spots and collect various number of cards as well as enact different abilities. So in the society track, you basically have three columns. And you have four people that are just little tokens on those columns. And you're just trying to make moves. Different spaces will allow you to move down and to the right, or straight down, or multiple people down, or there's all sorts of different moves. And so you're just trying to collect all these things and move those people down. The one tricky part is, at the end of the round, there's this dame who loves you. She's an older woman, and she always will speak highly of you. And so if your tokens are in a certain configuration, they'll move up at the end of the round. You'll gain influence because she'll say, oh, he's such a wonderful young lad. And those people will start to think highly of again. So you're trying to prevent these tokens from being in a certain position. Again, it's all really a Euro thing. The theme of that is just the joy of trying to trash your reputation. The political one is you're in a park, and so there's going to be a speech at the end of every round. The game will last five rounds. And so you're trying to gain megaphones to be the loudest in the park. And you're just trying to get thumbs downs, which are just votes downward. So these cards you collect, some of them are one-use cards and some are stay-and-play. So the stay-and-play cards either will have an ongoing ability. Whenever you collect a card of this type or an ability of this type, you'll lose reputation or lose whatever. And the one-use cards will just be, you know, just one-use, lose based on this. And some of the cards that you can keep are also, you can kind of trigger them once per round to be like, for every stagecoach you own, trash your reputation because you go out and destroy it or whatever it is. And then the neat part is the center board has a deck of cards that you use based on what modules you're using. And those cards can tie everything together. So that's a neat little, based on what you're using, you can get these cards and it'll say, oh, if your influence goes down, then also lose votes or whatever it is. So you can use those. So we played a two-player game. I played with my wife. And it was interesting. She was getting a lot of political, you know, lose politics. I was getting a lot of lose reputation. And then as it got to the end, the game is going to end either after five rounds or when somebody gets one of those categories to zero. Then it'll end at the end of that round. I believe we ended up triggering that. So then it became who can lose the other thing that they haven't been working on. So that was pretty interesting. I felt like at the end of the day, it was nice because it was short. With two people and the two things, it was 45 minutes or so, which was good time. But I felt like it was missing that third element. I wanted the third element, so that was like you're working on any two things, and you have to go from there. It was a good game, Prodigal's Club. I really enjoyed it. I want to try it with the third module. So it was a neat game. Okay, so for our discussion topic today, we thought it'd be good to look back at 2015 and kind of how that pertained to the portal and gaming and events and other things at the portal. So, Brian, how was 2015 at the portal overall? What was just your kind of...
Yeah, no, it was a great year between trying new things and, you know, we've just got a really strong staff as well, and it's been working well, and everything seems to be going in the right direction. You know, we tried a lot of new things. You know, we started PortalCon last year. We're trying to figure out how to get that going and make sense with what we're doing with that. We got to go to Gen Con for the first time and try to, you know, bring some of that back to Connecticut and spread that through the portal. Let's see what else. We did the Extra Life event, which was awesome. A few things were running consistently as well. Like, that was kind of in a similar vein to International Tabletop Day, which, you know, those two are great. I'm hoping to keep going with those and do that, like, that marathon, you know, through, you know, the next few years or whatnot, and keep adding new events. All the, like, different tournaments that Jonathan has been doing and running, and it's just been, you know, great. We've got Joe and Josh, a couple other part-timers, Dan and Bob, were really helpful at the end of the year, too. And I don't know, I guess it'll just be good to keep expanding and keep going with 2016 as 2015 was just really strong. And I think we're at a really good foundation for the years to come.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, other things that I think of are cosmetic. The store got kind of remodeled in a sense. The registers got moved up to the front and the product is out there where it's easier for people to see. You've got separate spaces for board gaming. Obviously, the board game library is awesome and is there and very accessible to people. I mean, I just always see people pulling games off of there. So that's been a great, I guess not an addition this year, but it's more solidified, I think. People know where to go for that. You got a dedicated space for card game tournaments. Force of Will has made an impression this year.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So that's been exciting to, you know, have a new headquarters for that. I know Armada gets played. Obviously, X-Wing still gets played, all the miniatures, but you got the separate room for miniatures gaming.
Right. And that's even expanded some tables and just, you know, we started a GT, like a larger event for Warhammer 40K. You know, we'll be having like a fairly significant, like a couple other larger tournaments. Like, I think there's a really good one, like a really strong one for Flames of War, you know, a bunch of historicals as well, and like War Machine and Hordes has really taken off. That's had a really strong following. X-Wing, we just can't keep on the shelves, you know.
Yeah.
And we've even just got like a demo table, which is really neat. It's just, I mean, it's just a cardboard stand-up sort of thing, but I don't know, especially with the movie coming out and,
right.
you know, that strength behind that. Like, Fantasy Flight is just, they keep promoting it and they keep expanding upon that product line and just really showing the back and forth there. I'm trying to think. We also made a bunch of really strong connections. You know, we went to, like, to a few library events between, like, the Comic-Cons that we went to. We also went to, like, the Silk City Board Game Group, which has been really awesome. Jen's been really, really great kind of heading that up and, you know, keeping on me and trying to, like, get everything going for that, getting that organized and keeping it going. The meetup group that we've been having at the store has been great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't been as involved in that. It kind of falls on, like, days that don't work for me. But, you know, those guys are always open and more people coming in and playing games, and they just, that's their thing. That's, you know, that's our thing, too. It's just an awesome hobby. Harrison was great, you know. He was basically the one behind the Extra Life event, mm-hmm. that full 24-hour marathon. And, you know, all these other people that we've been playing games with, you know, we have all these regulars that just keep branching out and are really promoting the store and the hobby and just gaming in general. And that's been really awesome, so.
Yeah, and I know, too, like on the financial side, I know that sales have been good this year, which is mm-hmm. great, which is not, you know, just always like the end game goal. I think it's something I love about the portal, but what's good there is, you know, that's a huge thank you to all you guys and people that don't even listen to this podcast, but all the regular customers and the people who stop in and hear a radio ad and come and check it out and are there, and even just people that buy food or whatever it is. It's just a huge thank you to all those people, I know, because, I mean, that's what the portal is. It's a community gaming center. You know, obviously it's a store as well, but it's a place we want people to be able to come. We want families to be able to come in and check out a game. We want game groups to be able to say, well, we can't play at your house, but this is a great place to go.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's awesome that there's a book that people can order food out of. Like, that's just a neat thing that, you know, so people are like, hey, we don't have to worry about that. They'll deliver right there. I know the delivery companies, like, know where the store is now, which is neat. So
they're regulars. That's right. It's just funny because it's like, hey, you again, like, you were just here 30 minutes ago.
I think that's a huge thank you to everybody that comes through the store, that calls it their place for gaming, that spends money there, you know, that just all furthers to see the things that the store is doing with all that. Mm. And credit goes to you, Brian, and to John as well.
Darn it. I was just going to give you credit for...
I don't do anything. I just run this podcast. So. And I guess I talk about the store wherever I go.
But this has been great too. Just, you know, I guess there have been a couple hiccups here and there. Like, there was a little gap for the podcast, but I think this is a really great way to kind of start building that momentum. And it's just been a great way to hang out and talk about games and try to give you some insight into how we're running our business. And just, you know, so you can see that and just understand that, you know, we are gamers and we want to be involved in that as much as you guys do. So,
so
thank you, Brant, for all this. And
no problem. Yeah. So looking ahead to 2016, okay. I know that we're planning on going to TotalCon this year, so that should be exciting. So if you're heading out towards Mansfield, Massachusetts, we'll be there like third weekend in February. So that's a really exciting convention. We just want to reach the arm of the portal and the time machine out there, further into New England. So we're going to be at TotalCon. It's our first time there.
Yeah.
And then
New York Toy Fair is right before that. So I'll be going there trying to, you know, meet up with some other people, just get those connections going, try to get, you know, some help with like organized play or anything like that, where it's like, you know, reaching out to the manufacturers or the distributors and, you know, just letting them know, like, we love what you guys are doing. We want to keep promoting it. How can you help us and how can we help you?
Yeah.
And then I guess that leads right into March. It sounded like you were kind of heading that direction. No?
March?
I don't know. Was that ConCon? Is that what, were we trying to do that too? I guess we'll get to that. But ConCon is in March, and there's also like the Gamma Trade Show, as a store, we'll probably, you know, send a couple people there to get get more networking out there and try to help promote that sort of stuff and, you know, really reach out to all these other game stores and see what they're doing, kind of get the vibe of that, and get any product announcements to, so we can pass it along to you guys.
Yeah, definitely. And then April 30th is International Tabletop Day this year, right? So we want to make sure people know about that and set their calendars. So that's 24 hours the store's open, and we'll be gaming that whole time, and it's all set aside for board gaming. I know many times at these events, Radio 104.1 has shown up. They've been great about helping to promote, so realize that's coming up. And then summer, looking forward, is Gen Con again, which I think we're planning on heading out to that. I'm actually trying to be a speaker on my education side this time and talking about using board games in the classroom, so hopefully that'll be exciting. Mm-hmm. And then rolling into the fall, I know that we'll probably be looking to hook up with Extra Life again and do that, which is usually early November, so...
Yeah.
There are so many things on the horizon for 2016, and I know we've got a couple of surprises and things that we can't announce yet that are up our sleeve, but that are also super exciting. So, thanks to you guys. Thanks for listening and just enjoying the year with us. Keep on coming out and gaming. Let us know what we can do to help you, what they can do, the staff at the store, what I can do running the podcast to talk about things and promote things for you.
Yeah.
We're really just, you know, here to help you guys. We want gaming to be fun, family, friends, everybody gathering together and just playing games and having a good time. So thank you, everybody. Okay, last up, we like to look at just what's on the horizon. There's not a ton coming down the pipe right now. It's like everything kind of spilled out after Essen and other things. There's always new stuff, for sure.
But we just don't know at the moment.
Yeah, we're just kind of looking way down the line. So I just picked some things that I'm super excited about waiting, and we don't have dates on these yet. But Star Wars Rebellion is kind of a big box. They don't Fantasy Flight game. They don't do those coffin-sized boxes, but here's their new big box. Two-player, looks like original trilogy-type game, just really looks awesome, so I'm really excited for that. I love Star Wars, so anything Star Wars always flies with me. Other one I'm excited about is Through the Ages, and there's a new edition of this coming out, and oh man, I have just pored over this. I just remember that this is one of my favorite games. I've held off teaching some people this game because they keep asking me, and I'm like, I'm waiting for the fourth edition here or whatever it is, because the artwork is just beautiful. The way they updated the mechanics looks awesome to me. Some of the things I know were always difficult to explain or felt like luck of the draw with some of the cards. They've mitigated a lot of that. That's CGE, Czech Games Edition, Vlada Chvátal, and that's also coming out to iOS and Android almost at the same time. Really? So that'll be interesting too. I know we're both interested in the next one.
Yeah, but we need to finish.
We have to finish the Marcy case, but the new Time Stories expansion, Prophecy of Dragons, looks... Well, anyway, anything Time Stories right now, I will eat up. So that looks exciting. And then, Brian, you added two here. Go ahead and talk about those.
Yeah, two coming up from What's Your Game. There's Nippon and Signori. I don't know. I hope I got the pronunciation right.
Sounds good
to me. Those two are kind of up my alley. I'm definitely veering more in the heavy Euro side of things, so those are two that I'm really looking forward to. I'm sure there are a bunch that, you know, I'm missing out on. Like, I always want to find all these new LCG packs and keep trying out those things, you know. But I feel like those are the two that I'm really focused on. I'm really looking forward to, I forgot about this, Food Chain Magnet from... Passport, I think they're doing it over here, and that one's one I think that's coming out in like March or so. Ooh, somewhere around there.
Nice.
And I'm really looking forward to that one as well, because a lot of people were really high on that, and we could pay an arm and a leg right now or just wait a few months, and I guess I'm I've got enough backlog games wait a few months at this point.
So that's some of the things that are on the horizon, so let us know what you're interested in, what you're looking for, so we can help you out. All right, everybody, there we go. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 11, a day long remembered. Of course, it's really a year long remembered, but the Star Wars quote is a day long remembered. So we use that. So it's in the books. There we go, episode 11. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you have a great new year, great start to the year. It hasn't been too cold. It's cold now. Are you surviving, Brian?
I am.
Excellent. We'll see if we get some snow around this region or if it tends to be a little warmer this year. Thanks for listening, everybody. So, as always, I am the Brant, and with me is...
Brian Raddatz.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on January 6, 2016. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. As always, thanks for listening.